first point I want to make is really quite an important one, which a lot of people still haven't grasped, haven't understood, which is that Jews have a different model of a nation. I'll repeat that. They have a different model of a nation. Most people think, and understandably, that a nation is geographically bounded and is rooted in sort of people who live in a place and have lived there for centuries, generations, and what have you. But the Jewish model of a nation is different. They want, their idea of a nation is to be spread out over as a sort of layer, preferably on top of other nations, preferably successful ones. They target successful ones and move into them and use their networking system to do everything they can to their own benefit. So the important thing is, let me give some examples. These are all taken from YouTube comments, or most of them. And it's a quiz here. It's a sort of game. Spot the Jew. Spot the Jewish interest. You know, spot the way Jews keep these things hidden. And later on, I'll go into the genetics of it, why this has happened, and what possibly you can do about it. Here's an example. This is actually Galloway. George Galloway said that it's UK and America are the biggest rogue states in the world. You know, in an emphatic tone of voice. And the comment here is, the comment I've got is, it's not exactly US and America, it's the Jewish policies, the sort of the rogue policies. They look as though they're American, they hide as American, and they hide as the British. Another one here, I've seen this quite often happen, the people are discussing, puzzling over US policy in Vietnam. What was going on there? What about the Gulf of Tonkin, this sort of thing? And my reply is, it's not American policy, it's Jewish policy. There were Kissinger, for example, who's incredibly still there, and Johnson, who was a Texas Jew. The link of Texas with Jews is not very well known, but that's another thing. It's not the US policy, it was not US policy, it was Jewish policy. And if we go back in time here, we've got the Opium Wars. You know, there was the UK and French troops went in and destroyed the Summer Palace. It was an incredible act of vandalism. But again, you see, it wasn't actually either British or French policy. It was for Jews. It was to support Jews so that they could go for the Opium War and profit from that. I don't know whether the profit was enough to justify the whole of Britain doing it. I suspect not. This is a thing to watch for. If you're separating out Jewish interests, if all the money goes to them, then, which is, you know, what they're after, which is characteristic. Look for that. Look for blame being misattributed. There's something similar in the Congo. The Belgian Congo was a well-known issue in Britain about 1900. The mass kind of killing of blacks there. But again, that was, I'd say, almost certainly a Jewish thing. The Jews getting their hands on supplies of rubber, that sort of thing. And we get the same with politics. You know, what is the Republican Party's policy? Well, it doesn't matter what the issue is. Really, it's not the Republican Party that's doing it. It's a Jewish policy. They're following Jewish policies, right? And same with the EU. You get these people puzzling over EU policy. What's happening here? What is Merkel doing? And of course, Merkel is a Polish Jew, and most of the EU policies are Jewish. And I'm personally in favour of a Europe in which common issues are discussed. It's an obvious thing to do. It's an important thing to do. It should be done. But the EU at the moment is, of course, run by Jews, just like the USA is. And here's another example, the BBC. They have all these policies, for example, what they call blonking, which means including blacks in the scenery all the time. And they have other policies like suppressing the names of black criminals, however, you know, whatever they do, they suppress it. And their other policies, repetition of lies about the Holocaust, and not mentioning the truth about 9/11, and it's not exactly BBC policy, it's Jewish policy. The BBC is run by Jews, has been really since it was established in 1920. So again, you see, it's not, you have to sort these things out. And it happens in all kinds of other fields as well, although a lot of people don't realise it. For example, promotion of homosexuality is a Jewish policy to weaken people, to make them effeminate, to disease them with anal sex, that kind of thing. But a lot of people don't realise that. They think it's sort of natural that you should have sudden campaigns for so-called same-sex marriage all around the world. You know, they think it's a coincidence, it happens everywhere. And there's a similar thing with, for example, family law, divorce, paedophilia. They're all Jewish policies. And, you know, I spoke to, there's a chap called Buchanan who founded a party called Justice for Men and Boys, J4MB. This is in Britain. And he can't understand this, you know, so, I mean, he'll get nowhere. I don't know if he would, if he acknowledged that it was a Jewish thing, but so all his comments really are kind of rather pointless. It's quite funny to see him being interviewed by these, you know, media women who are sort of lightweights, working through their little sheets. There's other things like, in addition to things like anal sex and diseases and the support for obesity, you get these ridiculous TV things with absurdly fat women usually, and the heroin from Pakistan. All these are Jewish policies designed to weaken the West, particularly whites. Whites are the premier target for Jews. And similarly with reading newspapers, a lot of people just don't realize, because of the control of the media, that where there's mass hysteria, it's usually Jews doing it. You know, for example, in 9/11, you had all these actors reading out their prepared scripts about being attacked by Muslims. It's all bullshit. They're just following their Jewish agenda. And I mean, a lot of people are coming to know this, and I'm just trying to, you know, going through all this rather boringly, is to try and underline it and make people realize it. There's a similar thing with blacks in the U.S. You know, the U.S. media tells lies routinely about the U.S. police shooting blacks, and they use it as a to stir up blacks. And it's partly, I think, as I'll say later, it's partly a planned thing. It's to enable blacks to riot and damage districts and so on. But again, it's a Jewish thing, and we can look at this again at the Irish. You know, the Ireland in. From about 1900 up to 1914, there was again, it's a Jewish movement to which compares in many ways with Jews in Russia and Poland and so on. They were continually assassinating people and killing them off and shipping arms around and so on. So Ireland is a really quite a tragic case where you've got a little country which was exploited by Jews, and also their collaborators like the so-called intelligence services, all this stuff. And in fact, that remains true in the USA now. It's been pointed out that it's not just Jews in dominating the US, but there are some Irish ones as well. And of course, these are just patsies used by Jews. And it's another example here. Why is somebody says, well, why should de-skilling and de-industrialization and export of jobs be a US policy? What's the point of that? And again, you see, it's not. It's a Jewish policy to partly to weaken the U.S., partly to presumably to make money out of cheap Chinese labor and so on. And another thing is that you have free thinkers, people like Richard Dawkins. They're anti-God, but they're not as bad as they used to be. They tend not to mention Islam, and they certainly never mention Judaism. And of course, Jewish policy is to be anti-Christian, but they don't. They keep quiet about all the filthy aspects of Jews. So again, you know, you look for the Jew there, spot the Jew, search for the Jew. And but of course, whenever they have to keep things concealed, they have to be they and you get crypto Jews. There's a whole sort of industry of people pretending not to be Jews for years and years. And but of course, if you have that sort of thing, these collaborators can become independent. And I'm sure the UN is an example. The UN was founded by on Jewish lines. All the sort of texts and so on were written by Jews. But of course, the UN now is getting a bit sort of uppity. You know, some of them are pro-Palestine, for example. So, and that's an interesting thing because, of course, it's not just a matter of Jews, as people point out. There are all their collaborators, such as Freemasons are a good example, and more recently Common Purpose, I think, is a Jewish thing, because Freemasonry is somewhat out of date. You know, Freemasons used to target local businesses, but local businesses are less important than they used to be. You know, there's so much big industry that they go more for bureaucrats now, sort of petty people who like to be told they're leaders. So, and that's the explanation, in my view, for common purpose. Anyway, let's go. Here's another example here. Somebody says in a comment, Jewish Bolshevism failed spectacularly on a planetary scale, didn't it? So that's what this sort of the question is. And you see, from the white point of view, that's, you know, it failed. It didn't get very far. But from the Jewish viewpoint, you know, Russia was ruined. Millions of Russians were murdered, raped, enslaved, generally killed off by slow methods as well. So from the Jewish point of view, it was a tremendous success. You have to look at it through their views, you know, through their eyes.
And also, Ray, I mean, the way I look at it is that the system that we live under today is communism, this democracy, because what they realised through communism is whilst they could get away with what they wanted within Russia, there was people speaking out about it around the world, you know, they don't have any ability to choose their government. So they said, well, let's give people a two-party system then, but we control both parties. So you either vote for the Labour Friends of Israel or the Conservative Friends of Israel, and then you still get Jewish policy, but you think you've got choice.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I'll get on to the British Constitution a bit later. That's something that I got interested in, mainly as a result of looking through old books, actually. There are other things here, like, for example, the Armenian genocide. Why is that kind of kept secret or kept under wraps? And again, it turns out to be because Turkey was actually run by a clique of Jews, Dolmy Jews. And in fact, it occurred to me just literally yesterday that there were Bulgarian atrocities. Bulgaria was a victim of Turks. This was in 1876, but nobody ever mentions that as another aspect of Judaism. And here's another couple of things here which are just people puzzling over things. Somebody here says, isn't it weird that the truth is considered controversial these days? And of course, if you understand Jews, they tell lies all the time, so it's not controversial. They want to suppress the truth. Fair enough. Somebody else here said, oh look, bringing in these misfits in 1948 was our biggest mistake ever. And of course, it wasn't our mistake. It was never voted for. It was a Jewish policy to flood immigrants in. In fact, that's part of the motive for, in my view, for things like pensions and benefits. It wasn't really aimed at whites, it was aimed at the people they wanted to ship over, or who had already been shipped over. And here's another one. So somebody says, oh, I can't believe what Europe and Britain have done to themselves. See, it wasn't a self-imposed policy, it was a Jewish thing with their collaborators. So there are all these examples of people who haven't understood this, you know. And here are a few more. BBC budget. When the BBC does its annual, you know, there's an announcement typically by a Jewish Chancellor of the Exchequer, you know, and all the BBC talk about is the, you know, tax on tobacco or beer or something. They never mention the government debt going up and interest payments being made to Jews. It's the same thing, you see. It's the budget is controlled by Jews, and they just mention the bits they want, which excludes everything important. And there are things here. Patreon, notice that Patreon is run by a Jew, and they removed fundraising for some sites, but of course they don't take out, you know, black hate sites or European hate sites. And again, it's Jewish policy. Jewish policy is to support black hate sites and any sites that hate aspects of Europe, not just Britain, of course, there's France, Italy, the Scandinavian countries, and so on.
Well, the Barbara Lerma Spector speech, I mean, that perfectly sums up what they're up to, and she openly admits it. And of course, that was made for Israeli television. It wasn't supposed to be seen by us, but it got out there and went viral in our community.
It went viral, that's right. They tried to close it down on copyright grounds, didn't they? But with the way things can spread now, you could get her speech just on a little USB stick, can't you? So that's right, yeah. And there's other things here. Feminists is another interesting example of the way Jews operate. They for example, they want divorced women to have complete control over children, that sort of thing. And you get these people puzzling over that. Why do they do this? And, you know, it's Jewish policy. They want to damage white families. And, you know, it's been quite successful. And the other feminists, a lot of the feminist writers, of course, Jewish as well. I mean, I think Germaine Greer probably has got a Jewish name. And all their writings are just, they might have been written by the same person, it's just a kind of collection of stuff on white males. And here's another one. Hi, there's somebody here puzzling over Austrian, or so-called Austrian economics, Hayek being a good example. Why are they, why are they so, quotes, right-wing? And of course it's not it's not Austrian economics, it's Jewish. It's only Jews call their race-based supremacy left. It's not left in the traditional sense of being spreading out the benefits of industrialism over large numbers of people.
Well, have you noticed the way that they, sorry to jump in, Ray, but the way that they've hijacked the left, you just hit the nail on the head there. It's not left into, spreading the wealth amongst poor people. What they've bolted on to being left-wing is, oh, you also have to support immigration. So that's actually to your detriment, because if you're a working person and they're bringing immigrants in, then they're going to take your jobs. They've also tagged onto the left promotion of homosexuality, promotion of race mixing, that again is all an attack on traditional family. It amazes me how they basically say if you're on the left you have to support all these things too. What do you think about
that's
that?
Absolutely right, yeah, it's a typical thing. In fact, the Labour Party was, there's a good book which I'm about to put up, which I've kind of reformatted so it's more readable, but the Labour Party had these policies ever since it was started. I think the Labour Party was actually essentially a Jewish party. They founded a whole party from scratch, and sort of ignored liberals, traditional liberalism.